Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Fino Payments Bank Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Faizan. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fino Payments Bank Limited earnings call to discuss the Q2 FY23 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Rishi Gupta, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ketan Merchant, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anup Agarwal, Financial Controller. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request Mr. Rishi Gupta to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today for our earnings call. This quarter makes us the 21st quarter old in our banking journey, and I'm amazed to see the progress we have made over this past few years. Our vision was to make financial services to the last mile through technology-enabled solutions. As a bank today, the vision remains the same with focus on growth and profitability. I would like to express that with each passing quarter, our confidence increases that we are on the right path and the right direction. The way we have grown in the last few years, especially during the last few quarters of macro issues, has given us more confidence that we'll be able to navigate through any uncertain environment. Over the years, we have created relevant products to service our customers. Our products like domestic money transfer, micro ATM, Aadhaar-enabled payment systems, makes banking easily accessible to the lowest strata of the population and offers them differentiated services. Basically, we are a bank for the common man. We are giving impetus on scaling our CASA and CMS verticals, which is also evident from the strong growth we have seen in these business segments in the last few quarters. We also believe that through cross-selling, these products will be able to boost our profitability. Given our performance during the first half of 2023, I'm confident of a strong H2. While Ketan will discuss the quarterly numbers in detail later, I would like to take this opportunity to discuss in brief a few highlights for the quarter. If I move very quickly to slide four and five on the investor deck, we continue to deliver very strong revenue growth. In quarter two FY23, our revenue grew by 25% over last year, and we are confident of growing at 25% over the next few years as well. Additionally, this was one of our best quarters in terms of profitability as our EBITDA came in at rupees 30.5 crores, which grew 71% on year-on-year basis, and our PAT came at 13.8 crores, which grew at 75% on a Y-on-Y basis. Our net revenue margin, which is a very important parameter for us, our net revenue margin increased from 30.3% to 30.9% in this quarter. Correspondingly, our net profit margin improved from 3.5% to 4.6%, not only on better revenue margin, but also on account of better cost controls. We continue to grow our distribution network. That's the foundation which we are building. Total merchant network at 12.2 lakh ending quarter two FY23 was sequentially at 7% higher. Our digital footprint continues to expand, which grew at 28.208% on a year-on-year basis in quarter two FY23. Coming to our key focus areas of CASA and CMS. We opened 7.6 lakh accounts in quarter two FY23. This is by far our highest numbers we have achieved in the history of Fino. This was again 6.2 lakh, which we achieved in quarter one FY23, taking our total accounts open to nearly 60 lakh, setting the base for a strong potential in cross-sell and upsell. Our renewal income, which is annuity income, also has a substantial growth. It went up by 153% year-on-year basis, leading to an exponential growth in our annuity business. While digital is catching up in rural, and we are pushing that as well, cash is still the preferred mode of payment. Our CMS, the payment services which we do on behalf of corporates, of which we have roughly 161 corporates as of now. Our CMS throughput continues to see strong growth momentum, and we have already achieved 82% of our FY22 throughput. If I move on to slide 6 and 7, you can see the growth we have seen over the last couple of years, including half-yearly and quarterly performance, and how operational efficiency has led to continuous decline in our cost-to-income ratio. Additionally, going forward, we are confident that we will be able to further improve our cost-to-income ratio. Slide number 8, if I look at, our product mix is evolving and moving towards high growth and high margin products like CASA and CMS, which shows that continuation on this across our digital imputers, CASA and CMS now constitutes 26% of our revenue, ending quarter to FY23 versus 16% in last year in quarter 2. There's a substantial 10% growth on the overall revenue on CASA and CMS, which is in line with that guidance which we have been sharing in the past. If we move on to slide number 9, again a very important slide, our subscription revenue share has gone up to 30% from 25% on quarter-on-quarter basis, suggesting sustainable annuity income. Our focus on driving our business, which delivers relatively higher margin, is visible from the fact that our own business now constitutes 64% of the revenue compared to 62% in quarter 1 FY23. We maintain a strong growth outlook and our aim to achieve 2 million distribution points, 20 million CASA customers, double the wallet share on active customers to rupees 1000 per customer, and increase digital footprint over the next 3-4 years. That is the goals, objectives on which we are working on. Business momentum is good. Operating leverage will come in play, as you can see in this quarter as well. And monetization of transaction business into customer ownership will lay the foundation for cross-sell in the years to come. Investing in our Fino 2.0 avatar, we are targeting to reach out to our customers who are rapidly adopting to digital means of communication, entertainment, and payments. We are confident of growing at over 25% over the next few years, given that we are continuously increasing and widening our distribution network and adding new customers and products. The journey ahead looks exciting as we aim to continue the momentum and explore growth opportunities. Overall, I can assure you that everything we do at Fino, our endeavor is to create a sustainable and creditable bank. With this, I would like to hand over to Ketan for his comments on our financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Rishi. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As Rishi mentioned, this is a very strong performance and a strong quarter for the company as a whole. Our financial performance was driven by strong operation performance and is a result of investments which we've done over past 5 years in the business model. Again, as Rishi mentioned, this quarter two, we have completed almost 21 quarters of operations. However, point to reckon out here is with 11 of those quarters have shown consistent profitability since the time we had broken even in quarter 4 FY20. The unique thing about this journey has been the way we have evolved our customer relationships and our strong focus on customer ownership. You will see our focus on these aspects when I dwell into each of the segments. Starting with CASA, Rishi has mentioned about our CASA journey as well, and I draw your attention on slide 24 of our presentation. Our customer acquisition rate is on massive rise. This not only generates a subscription income but also a strong renewal income, which is like an annuity income. During H1, we opened 13.8 lakhs accounts, a 66% increase on a YOY basis. Out of this, 7.6 lakhs accounts were opened in Q2, which is an increase of 1.5x as compared to earlier quarter. Now, it's not only about opening accounts and it is also about diversification. I'll just give you some data in terms of the states where subscriptions account have been opened for this quarter. MP constituted 18% of the new subscription accounts, followed by Uttar Pradesh, which was 16%, Bihar 15%, Maharashtra 7%, and Gujarat 6%. This also dovetails with our philosophy that we have further penetration to be done. Some of these models have worked right in our our core areas, and we are attempting it to replicate in East and South as well. This is a key focus for the company because this also becomes the baseline for Fino 2.0, which dovetails from the strong CASA base of Fino 1.0. Over here, I would like to mention that 34% of these accounts are active on digital payments as at 30th September. Another key point which needs to be discussed is the growth of subscription revenue and overall debit card spends, which basically is a good indicator of business model predictability and shows how our presence in a digital ecosystem is unique. On a YOY basis, CASA grew by 97% in quarter 2 FY23. Again, in terms of the CASA revenue, which are the states contributing it in the descending order? MP, Madhya Pradesh constitutes 20%, Bihar is 18%, Uttar Pradesh is 15%, followed by Maharashtra 8% and Gujarat 6%. Another important data point from a customer loyalty angle is average debit card spends. On a YOY basis, in quarter 2, overall debit card spends grew by 106%. While spends per transaction grew by 12% on a YOY basis. Before I move to other segments, I would like to briefly discuss the digital investments of the Fino 2.0, which is natural extension of Fino 1.0 and which we've explained in the earlier call as well. And this investment has now started showing initial results. The digital throughput is now 17% of total throughput and stands over 10,000 crores. The increase on a YOY basis is almost 3x, and this is extremely encouraging because this becomes the base for future cross-sells, which in turn would generate more fee income for us. The next growth driver for us is CMS business, and here I would like to draw your attention on slide number 26. CMS is a B2B business and we enjoy a strong leadership position out here. On a YOY basis, the throughput in quarter 2 is doubled to over 10,000 crores. We have diversified base of 161 partners, and this comprises not only of NBFCs but also e-com players, cab aggregators, and diversification was our focus out there. The diversification of partner base was a key focus, as I mentioned, and is showing results in terms of the growth of CMS. While the gross margins on a YOY basis are a little lower than what we saw last year, this has been a conscious strategy. The margin out here is in excess of 40%. Our strategy on CMS is to increase volume and maintain a healthy margin in the range of 40%. Coming to the other transaction income or the transaction aspects of our business, whether it's DMT or micro ATM and APS, which are essentially the hook for our subscription business or for our other growing products. On the remittance side, we were the first movers and it is also the oldest Fino product. We continue to enjoy leadership position here. It's a mature segment but still important as it's a hook product which I just mentioned it of and enables entry into the Fino ecosystem. It is up to us and our field staff and our merchants how do they capitalize the conversion or the footfall which comes on account of remittance or micro ATM or AAPS. We registered a 28% growth in Q2. We saw a margin compression because the share of the open banking channels had relatively increased on a YOY basis. We mentioned earlier as well, we are attempting to manage or have a fine balance between open banking and our own channel in the ratio which we discussed earlier. I now briefly cover AEPS, which has shown strong growth on all parameters. The point to reckon out here is the industry overall grew by 13%, though the throughput on Fino ecosystem increased by 53% in quarter 2. As a result, we've been able to significantly grow our market share from 13% to 9%. Point to reckon again out here is this has been a blend of own as well as the open banking channel. Coming to micro ATM, while it continues to be a challenging segment, we are maintaining our dominant position though in terms of the way industry is. Cumulative market share of top 5 players at 83% of September 2022, Fino share in micro ATM is more than of top banks like HDFC Bank, SBI, Kotak and IDFC. While competitors are aggressive on commercials, we have ramped up the devices to own merchants and registered a 10% growth YOY in active terminals on own channel. On an overall basis, we are performing in line with our internal targets, and we are stretching our teams in terms of the high margin products to grow. We are delivering the growth of 25%, which we had mentioned in terms of guidance, and H1, we had seen a good growth of 32%. Our bottom line is growing disproportionately as we are envisaged because of the model which we are running. One more point which is actually being shown in the numbers essentially as well is the operating leverage play. This is very clearly evident from the cost income ratio of 26% in quarter 2 23 versus 30% in quarter 2 22. We, as Rishi said, we will continue to focus on controlling cost and minimizing cost and thereby enhancing our EBITDA and PAT margin. The digital throughput is increasing. We continue to invest. We have a long-term strategy on cross-sell, upsell and digital along with our customer acquisition spree, which is on. With this, I would like to open the questions for the floor for questions for Rishi and me and Anup to take. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have three questions. My first question is actually on the micro ATM, the number of micro ATM in the industry. So basically, I went and saw that RBI has revised all their historical data on the number of MATMs in the industry. And I understand that there was a market share loss which was happening, but overall also the market share now looks lesser than what the earlier RBI data had. So if you can help us understand what's exactly happened over here and how have historical data of past 2-3 years been revised. First is that. Secondly, in your CASA, while your subscription and renewal income is expected to be strong, the other than subscription and renewal income for this quarter is also quite strong. What we call the SMS and other charges, right? If you can talk about what exactly is happening over there. And overall, if you can tell me for the financial year FY23, if you have any guidance on what kind of gross margins or PAT margins can we build in, because for both, you know, for first two quarters, we've had a gross margin of 30.3 and 30.9 now, which is sort of behind the kind of trends we used to have earlier, which could be 33-32%, right? So if you could give us some guidance about the full year margin.
Thank you, Shreya, for your question. See, this RBI data market share, I have not seen the data. Let me see the data and probably I'll come back to you on that. Because we have to understand what parameters RBI has taken in their revised calculation. So we'll come back on that. As far as your CASA subscription, SMS and other charges are concerned, as you can see, the CASA numbers are growing, as well as the numbers on the renewal itself has grown substantially. Now CASA constitutes 18% of our total revenue, and CASA renewal has grown by 1.5x on year-on-year basis. So what is your question specifically? You are asking in terms of SMS and other...
Okay, let me attempt to take this question off. If I understood your question right, in addition to the renewal and the subscription revenue, the non-subscription revenue has also been growing, right? That. So the answer to that essentially lies is that 85% or odd is our subscription revenue, the growth is also being seen in non-subscription customer accounts as well. And here, the state-wise geography is slightly different. Bihar is leading the pack in terms of the non-subscription revenue or the accounts which are not subscription-based. However, as a philosophy, our philosophy is to have more and more kind of a subscription accounts because that gives us an annuity income. But there has been a growth specifically in Bihar, MP and UP in terms of the non-subscription CASA revenue as well. So, back to you.
Okay, so you're saying that these are the non-sub. So how many products do you have in the non-subscription CASA category?
So Shreya, the way it will essentially work is, you know, we have a two products which are essentially there, and we also have a, you know, Bhavishya account which is for the minor as well. Our main focus essentially goes, as I'm again saying it off, is the main variant is a 449 variant which is there for subscription, and after that we have two variants more which are on the non-subscription basis as well, but the focus is subscription.
Okay, got it. And my last question was on the margin guidance, if any.
So, on the margin piece, I've been saying across all the calls as well that we'll be balancing our margins between growth and profitability. The shift which has essentially happened between last quarter to this quarter is the share of our own banking. Our own banking share, which is a higher margin, has increased. So our focus for the H2 essentially continues to, you know, have that ratio. Eventually we want to shift, and which is what we have said earlier, over next couple of quarters and more, going into a, you know, two-third, one-third kind of a scenario. And once that happens, there is a natural increase in the margin, as which we have seen. Also, to add, both the growth drivers, one is CASA, that carries a margin of 58%, and CMS is carrying a margin of 41%, and those are the growth drivers which are going to happen for H2 and subsequent quarters as well. So we are expecting a reasonable increase, a steady increase, not an overnight one quarter increase into the margin.
Okay, so 1H you are planning to push more of your products which are on your own banking channel or your CASA and CMS, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, sure.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kumar from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and Rishi and team, good job. Congratulations for a good job done. So I had only one question. We see a borrowings number of around 700 odd crores in the balance sheet. Given the fact that we are largely, or we are a payments bank, why are we kind of carrying this kind of a borrowings?
Ashish, thanks for this question. It's a very good question. Whilst we keep on canvassizing ourselves as a transaction bank, and which is what we are, wherein 95% plus of our revenue comes from fee income. At the end of it, along with our banking license, we have some leeway in terms of overnight borrowings. If you see, yes, the borrowings are 700 crores, but if you see on the asset side, you will see that investments are essentially 1200 crores. So there is a, you know, a opportunity which we have got, that where we have borrowed and we have also done GSEC investment. These are risk-free GSEC investments, and there is a natural spread of anywhere in the range of 60 to 80 basis points as well. So this is how we are essentially doing it off. One more aspect which is borrowing is sometimes used for overnight settlement at times, which is required for working capital kind of a thing. So both these numbers taken together, and to be looking at the kind of the investment asset growth with a 60 to 70 basis point margin or spread which we are looking at, is our reason for high borrowings. And these are overnight borrowings.
But in the current environment where the interest rates have become so volatile, do you not see that the risks having gone up, or is there an MTM loss that we have had, or are the investments also for less than a year?
Thanks again, a fantastic question. The kind of margin which we are essentially having it off, it's a straight curve which is happening. You know, so whilst overnight rates are also increasing it off, we cannot go for a very long-dated investments, because, you know, as a bank, most of our investments, barring own funds, have to be, you know, within one year kind of a thing. There is a repricing of assets also essentially which happens off. So there has been a stress testing which was done as well, and we had a good cushion when the entire thing has done. Now in last 6 months' time, we've almost seen a 190 basis point increase in the interest rate. I can still say that there is a healthy margin which we are still coming off because of the nature of the curve which is there. This situation can come if any bank is very long and there is an inverted curve, but you know, we can't be long, or we are not long and there is no inverted curve which is there. And as I said, this is not a long-term strategy, or this is not a strategy, these are incidental benefits which we just try and get out of our license.
Okay, no, that's helpful. So on an MTM basis, we are saying that we haven't taken any loss with MTM.
No, there is no loss which has come on account of MTM basis.
Okay, and even after this gain from this thing, we are still at 11% ROE. So when do you expect us to kind of cross a 15-16% ROE threshold?
So the way the numbers are going to go up in the H2, and maybe in FY 23-24, you should look at an ROE of above 15% for sure in FY 23-24.
Okay. Thanks, Rishi, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ashish.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shri Karthik Velamakanni from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I want to focus on your CMS business, where obviously the growth rates are very high. But from what we understand, speaking to a lot of the microfinance and NBFC management teams, they're focusing a lot on digital collections and especially using UPI for collections. How do you see the risk of this business getting disrupted by the choice made by NBFC management to digitize the collection process?
So, good question. So, when we look at the CMS business, and we have roughly 161 clients, and you can see the number has grown substantially over the last 1 year. Our CMS throughput has also crossed 10,500 crores, which is a 94% growth on a YOY basis. Now it constitutes roughly about 8% of the overall revenue for us. For us, what is important, and Ketan mentioned in his speech in terms of the diversification which we are focusing on the CMS side. At one point, our NBFC and the NBFC MFI portfolio was roughly about 85 to 90% of the overall number. Now that number has come down to roughly about 60% or so. So substantially, we are able to diversify ourselves in other businesses also. Not only the fact that we are engaging with NBFCs, NBFC MFIs, we are engaging a lot with e-commerce, logistics companies, cash management companies, even banks have now started to use our portfolio or our CMS business which we do, largely because of large distribution which we have been able to set up across 12.2 lakh distribution points across the country. So we feel that the CMS business for us is still at a stage where we can grow at a good growth rate. As you can see, in this year alone, we have grown substantially over our growth which we had last year. Because of the effort the teams are doing both at the supply side as well as on the demand side. And large part of the CMS inflow is also used for cash withdrawal purposes. We don't expect that the business will slow down at least for some time on the CMS side as you go forward.
Thanks for that. The other question is, RBI has launched the UPI facility for feature phones. Have you seen a rapid take-up of that in some of the hinterland?
So right now it is more of a in the pilot stage itself. So once it gets rolled out, then we'll have to look at it. But we had seen the Star 90, Star 9 feature also, which came out a few years back. Feature phone usage for payments is still a not very easy, comfortable mode like a smartphone. But we will have to see how the results of the pilot goes by, and then we'll be able to come back. Maybe another few quarters it will take for us to see how it will feature. The USSD experience did not go that well on the feature phone side. But if the feature phone experience on the UPI goes well, that will be good for us also, because that will lead to further stickiness of the customer. Our UPI throughput will mean it will go up, and we can see expect a higher subscription income coming for us. So UPI, while it may be a cost on one side, but we look at this as a stickiness, as a cross-sell opportunity for us. And the data which we have seen is that the customers who are more active on the UPI side, their renewal rates, their balances are far higher than a non-UPI customer.
Thanks. Lastly, there's been some talk about increasing the interchange in micro ATMs and some of the other AETS products, etc. Have we seen any progress there?
So this has been a long-standing demand from the industry, that when the ATM charges were increased from 15 rupees to 17 rupees, the same should be done for micro ATM AEPS. I think this is still under discussion. We have not factored that increase in our projections, and we continue to work on the current pricing mechanism. But it will be good for us from a financial point of view if the price increase happens sooner than later.
Yeah, so when you define your take rate for both AECS and micro ATM, it's just an implied take rate, right, based on your average ticket size?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mahindra AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Just a few of them. I wanted to understand, let's say, if you were to look for almost like, let's say, 6 to 8 quarters out, how should we vision our revenue mix? I mean, clearly, our growth drivers are kind of changing, and given that CASA and CMS both are now reasonably sizable in the overall revenue pool, so how should we look at the revenue mix going forward?
Thanks for this question. Ketan here. I think let's just do it in two aspects. One is we've said that, you know, on an overall basis, we'll try and grow by 25%, and we are on essential track out there. You are absolutely right that, you know, we are, you know, the base of CASA and CMS are increasing it off. And in the past, we've seen a growth of 97% or 86%. With a higher base, definitely, you know, this kind of growth will not be coming. However, in our anticipation, we are looking at anywhere in the range of a 35-40% plus kind of growth on a sustainable basis over next 8 quarters. This may also be in a manner that in the immediate couple of quarters, the growth may be higher. Overall, a 40% kind of a growth, or 35-40% kind of a growth, is what we are envisaging on CASA and CMS. However, the point to note essentially out here is, it is not only currently these guys are growth drivers. As Rishi just mentioned it off, our customer acquisition spree will also have the avenues of cross-sell and upsell with the digital stack also, which we are making off. So there is an element of other products also which will come through. We have also got some new products, and I've mentioned it in my earlier call as well, that maybe FY23 or last quarter or subsequent year first quarter is where we can start having some sort of income which will be bottom line coming from these products as well.
Okay. And but just a little more clarity on CMS. Have you also ventured into retail cash management services, or it's still predominantly e-commerce players, NBFCs, and the likes of them?
Yeah, we have also ventured into retail services also, and it constitutes roughly about 2% of our overall 6.5% of the overall customers, of the overall collections for the month of September.
Okay.
6.5%.
All right, sure. The other question was on your guidance related to the ROE achievement. Let's say we were to target a 15% sort of return on equity in FY24 and a 25% sort of a revenue growth, which implies that the margin expansion next year should be reasonably higher. Is that a fair assumption to make?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, the number was minimum 15%. So we are not saying that we'll stop at 15%. Our own calculations, the way we are looking at it, will be higher than 15%. But yes, 15% for sure.
Umang, in addition to the margin play, this is also about the operating leverage, which both Rishi and I earlier mentioned it as well. With the volumes essentially increasing it up and the cost control measures which we are putting will also give us a higher leeway in terms of a PAT margin and eventually a higher ROE in addition to the margin which we just discussed.
So, Umang, what I would say from my lens is this is, for me, this quarter 2 FY23 was a directional number. If you look at across the segments, on revenue side, on net margins, on EBITDA margins, on PAT margins, on your API versus own, you would see across all the parameters, there has been a jump. Somewhere it is substantial jump, somewhere it is the numbers are lower, but on an average, there has been a jump which is there. So from us, it's directionally, when we look at it, you can make your own assumptions how the direction will be over the next 6 to 8 quarters. But we are quite confident looking at the efforts and the results we have seen in quarter two. That directionally, as I mentioned also in my opening remarks, directionally we see to be a better place or in terms of lot of control on revenue as well as on costs as we move into H2 and then into FY24.
Okay. And just last a clarification which I wanted on slide number 24, we have debit card spends per transaction. This includes just the POS spends or also ATM withdrawals?
This is also includes ATM withdrawals, all put together.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you so much and good luck for future quarters. Thanks.
Thank you,
Mohan. Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kumar from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking me again. In the queue, I just wanted to check in this the CASA account that we open up. Between the subscription base and having our own CASA-based accounts, does it now, given the fact that the interest rates have moved up by almost 200 basis points and we are more normal, does it make more sense to have those CASA customers as our own customers or does it make sense for us to still pass them on to another bank on a subscription?
No. So in this, let me just clarify, Ashish. Whether it's a new CASA customer or a subscription, this is our own customer only. Because
yeah.
Subscription means that he's in the second year. New means is first year. So that's the only difference, which is second and third year maybe, fourth year. But that's the only difference. Whether you look at new CASA or subscription, they are our own customer. Whatever we open for another bank comes under BC income. So those numbers are not included here. It's good you pointed it out. So let me clarify for everybody on the call, the CASA number of 7.6 lakhs is Fino customers. Fino customers have opened account in Fino Bank, not which who have opened account through Fino in some other bank. That numbers we don't mention it in this, and that goes into the other bank. But these are our own customers, and you are right. As you could see, our deposits have also gone up substantially in the last 1 year, because of the base which is there, it's grew by 77% on a year-on-year basis, which is substantial growth. And obviously, with interest rates becoming better, we are expecting a higher treasury income on these accounts.
Sure. And how do you see the CASA number? Because it's almost, as you said, it's gone by almost 75-80%. So how do you see that number balance, let's say, in the next couple of years? Do you see that that 70-80% CAGR kind of a number, or 60%+ kind of a CAGR on that number?
So, the base itself has gone up now. 60 lakh accounts we have. And while we believe there are a lot of people who already have a bank account but would like to come to a Fino bank because of multiple convenience, simplicity, responsible bank, all that put together. So we believe the numbers will keep on going up. To look at a 60-70% growth over a higher base, maybe a little bit stretch, but definitely we are looking at, like, we have done about 2.5 lakh on an average in this quarter. Our target would be to look at 3 lakh plus over the next couple of quarters, as such. Maybe if quarter one or quarter four of FY23 or FY24, we should look at an average around that number. So we will continue to focus our strategy, as I mentioned also, is adding to our transaction income. So as the transaction income keeps on going up, we keep on adding more customers, and then it leads to more higher annuity income, and then a host of other benefits which we get, whether on treasury or otherwise on CASA. Plus a renewal income of in the next year gives us a substantial higher margin product, because in the second year we don't issue a debit card, so that cost we save. So substantially the margin goes up by about 15% or so, 15-20% in the quarter, in the next year when it comes up for renewal. So CASA is a very good strategy from transaction to ownership to cross-sell is what we are focusing on as we continue in our payment span journey.
Sure. And just of CASA, just remind me, how much do we pay the customers?
2.75%.
Do you see that, given the fact that some of the other competition started to increase rates, do you see that kind of increasing?
I don't think so, because in our case, savings, people have looked at fixed deposit as a saving mechanism. Money which are there in savings account are largely transaction money. If I look at any new, even SBI has come down, they have reduced their rate. While they have increased on the FD, on the savings account, they have reduced it from 2.75 to 2.7.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I don't expect that the saving account interest rates are going to substantially or go up in the near.
So Rishi, what I was trying to ask is that while we are at 2.75 and we compare ourselves to some of the larger names, if I look at it slightly differently, our average CASA balance is around 10,000 rupees per account.
No, it's about 1,100 rupees per account.
1,100 rupees per account. So, is there a way to kind of increase that number substantially higher, given the fact that we already have these customers to by a factor of 2-3x, by, let's say, offering a staggered interest rate so that people don't even have to go for FDs to the other banks, because a lot of the merchants might be having a much larger cash balances?
So, in our case also, money which people give in savings account in Fino is largely for transaction purposes. We don't promote ourselves as a deposit taking bank. We promote ourselves as a transaction bank, and people who transact more with us, whether through our multiple debit cards, withdrawal options, or UPI or digital, tend to have higher balances as such. In one of our slides, in fact, we have mentioned that in the first quarter of FY23 versus FY22, our average balance has gone up from 1,100 rupees to 1,490 rupees, around that level. So you will see that as we are going forward, our balances and the customers are also growing. That is again a factor of more transactions and the trust which is getting built up from a customer point of view. And your point is well taken. From FY21 to FY23, from 1107 to 1490, if you look at slide number 11. So your point is well taken, and we are also trying to see if we can push more on building up balances in those accounts, because now with the treasury income or some income coming on the treasury side, it becomes beneficial for us. We believe making them more transacting, more active, through a lot of nudges which we do, whether through our own platform or clever platform, we believe we have seen a growth in our balances, and that is a journey we will continue to push. So you should look at a higher balance growth in the years to come.
Sure. Okay, and that's all from my side. Thanks, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chandrasekhar Sridhar from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have a few questions. One is, can you share where are you just in terms of realization on a CASA account right now? And when you see the...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Sridhar. The audio is not clear from your line, sir. Please check.
Hey.
Mr. Sridhar, your audio is breaking from your line, sir. Mr. Sridhar, request you to please rejoin the question queue.
We'll take Chandra, we are not able to hear you.
So we'll take the next question from the line of Kamal Khatri from ASML Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rishi. Actually, I have three questions. One is, when you mention your CASA income, does that also include the interest income which we earn on the customer balances?
Yes.
What's your plan on the BC income? We have seen that it is reducing from quarter on quarter. So what's the long-term plan on that? And I was also seeing your employee cost has reduced. It has reduced marginally, but what is the reason for reducing employee cost?
Yeah, so hi, Ketan here. I'll just take your question in the reverse order first. There has been a reduction in the employee cost, a marginal reduction. As we said, we are working on the operating efficiency kind of a thing. We have had a reduction of around 80 people in terms of our headcount, and that is what it is leading to. One is that. Second aspect was... in terms of your CASA, right? Sorry, can you just repeat your CASA point? I'll take the BC one. BC income, yes, we had been saying that as a strategic part, BC income is something which we continue to process with some kind of our existing clients. It is not have been identified as a growth driver. Our focus is increasingly shifting to a B2C kind of a product where we have larger control and lesser volatility as well. So from a BC standpoint, in times to come or in couple of quarters and couple of years, do we see a strategy of growth out here? Our consistent message essentially is no. We will sustain the current existing client and try and make more out of that rather than aggressively pushing for an increase in a B2B income. This is line with our strategy to enhance the B2C. Sorry, the third one was on the CASA. And your question was, does it cover the treasury income on CASA, right? That's the question
yes,
was.
Yes, that's okay.
No, that is coming into others. That is separately classified. This is essentially largely transaction-based CASA income.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Khatri, does that answer your question? Mr. Khatri, is that answer your question?
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Chandrasekhar Sridhar from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hi, so I just wanted to know what's the realization right now which you're making on the CASA per subscription, and while you said the renewals are up 1.5x, what have been the renewal rate?
So on the realization is roughly around 360 to 375 rupees per account, which is there on the show. On an average, if I include the subscription and non-subscription put together, it will be around 325 or so. And on the renewal rate, as you mentioned, we are at about 60% odd in terms of recovery on the renewal side from the CASA from first year to the second year and the year onwards. I hope it answers your question.
Okay. And there's been some talk recently which you made that you're going to start thinking of a small finance bank license. I don't know what your thoughts are on the same.
So Chandra, there has been a lot of discussions we have been doing on this as such, from a small finance payments bank to small finance bank. As if I view from a lot of bankers as well as RBI angle, is a natural transition which is there. From a business sense point of view, it makes more business sense as it enhances our product product bouquet. So we look at payments bank to SFB as an enhancement of a product bouquet rather than a lending bank per se. So there's a big difference in the thinking. We are a transaction focused bank. Our 100% income comes from transactions, roughly 1,000 crore plus was the transaction income which we did last year. Our business is the way it's built up is through merchants rather than branches. And with merchants also, we have been able to raise nearly 1,000 crore of deposits put together. So that's been a unique model which is there. So even if we convert or transition into an SFB over the next 2-3 years, it's going to be largely a transaction-focused bank where data monetization will play a big role. And it will not be an asset-driven bank to a large extent. It will be a cross-sell transaction-driven bank. That is what we, on the lines that which we are thinking when we look at as an SFB. Just to clarify, SFB will be roughly about 18 to 24 to 30 months process. Depending on when you apply, you get an approval, and then you transition, you get the technology in place. So it is not going to happen over the next, the conversion or transition may not happen over the next 18 to 24 months.
Understood. And just can I ask you, just where are we on a tax shield right now? Just how long do we go on a zero tax rate?
Yeah, so currently, Chandra, Ketan here, currently based on our internal modeling, essentially which we've done is we will continue to have the accumulated losses coming to us for this year and part of next year as well.
Okay. So from next year, somewhere in the middle of the next year, you start paying taxes?
Depending upon the kind of the growth rate which we are essentially going through. Yes.
Understood. And just now, just given where the market cap is and given that we have some, there is a reasonable amount of cash, is there a thought process on any buyback or something which you're doing, or are we restricted because of Fino Paytex shareholding?
We are not at this stage. Our focus is on building the bank and to focus on our performance per se, and you can see the numbers are showing on that account. We are not looking at any buyback at this stage.
I think, Chandra, just to elaborate on this, you know, the primary proceeds which we have raised, you know, we essentially wanted to put to use for making a good profitable digital tax-savvy bank which can generate the ROE which Rishi mentioned in the earlier call as well. So that is where our thought process is, that utilize it for these purposes and continue to deliver the strong results, which is, you know, which is what we've seen in quarter two as well.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity to ask the question. So my question is on the borrowing and the subsequent investment.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Rahul. The audio is very low from your line. Please increase the volume of your device.
Okay, is it better now?
Yeah, relatively better, Rahul. We can hear you.
So my question is on the borrowings and the subsequent investments we are making from that borrowing. So what is the kind of expected returns from those investments? And what is the, let us say, the worst case and the best case return you expect?
Yeah, Rahul, I'll try and answer those as well. But let us actually reiterate it of what Rishi and I mentioned earlier as well, that we are a transaction-led bank. we have a regulatory license which gives us a leeway, but that is not our primary business. We are having some opportunities which we will try and use it off. Now, coming to the question, what is the kind of the return which is expected out of this is, you know, we are anyway looking at somewhere around spread of 70 to 80 basis points, which I had earlier said it off. In certain cases, it was earlier, it was also, you know, in the range of around 150 to 180 basis points. Our investment total not only constitutes borrowing, it also constitutes some of our balances, which Ashish was earlier alluding to. You know, as a payment bank license, all the customer deposit which we get, we end up paying on the saving account, we end up paying 2.75, and we have the leeway to deploy it into 1 year G-Secs, and that's where the margin essentially is anywhere in the range of 300 odd basis points. And for all the reasons which Rishi earlier elaborated, we'll try and maximize that in the current interest rate scenario.
Okay. So I understand this is for short-term opportunistic investment. Because if you know, I go by the numbers you share, like 70 basis points, 50 basis points,
yeah.
So it is not a huge number that you should be going after, right?
No. I think I again reiterate. Yes, you know, it is opportunistic. It was huge at some point of time, but we are not going to change our strategy from a transaction bank to a balance sheet bank.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. So that is quite comforting. Thank you.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishrut Bubna, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everyone. So just wanted some more information regarding the 10% acquisition in PaySprint. Sorry if I mistook the name. Just curious as to how you are integrating that into the current stack and how you are going about it. And if there are any plans on further increasing the stake based on performance or any such parameters.
So in the case of PaySprint is an entity which is building up an API stack. We are doing substantial business from that. I'll just share the numbers. I'm getting it from IT. So we'll in terms of how much business we have done through PaySprint, we are also doing some technology development through them. We have done our first tranche of disbursement as such. Looking at the performance, we may look at second tranche also by March, which is there. Our total holding will be about, total will be how much? 12.9% is the maximum holding which we are looking at. In this year, we have done business of roughly 6,500 crores of throughput through PaySprint.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prasad Kulkarni, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My question is basically on the product distribution business, basically third-party product distribution business, which something like loan referral, then third-party insurance product distribution, and third-party mutual funds or distribution. So how that business is shaping up presently, sir?
So on the third-party products, we have been doing loans on behalf of banks and NBFCs in the last few years. We on an average used to do around 100 crores of loans for a bank. On top of it, we have started to also offer consumer loans as to retailers and merchant loans also. We have seen that there is a jump of roughly 47% in the quarter two over quarter one, from 40 crores to 57 crores.
Yep.
If I get the numbers correctly on our lending piece. Insurance, we from 40 crores to 59 crores, there's a 49% jump on our lending, which includes the gold loan as well as the other loans as such, without the BC loan. BC loan is over and above this. And on our insurance, we have started to partner with more insurance companies, and we have started to see some uptake on insurance. Let me tell you, both the both lending and insurance are bottom line driven businesses, not rather than the top line. Mutual funds, we received the approval from the regulator. We are in the process of integrating with the partner. So maybe in quarter four we'll be able to do that. And also international remittance is also under close user group, as I mentioned earlier.
Sir, one more question. Is there any plan to get into own insurance products for bottom of the pyramid or low ticket mutual funds?
So we will do it through partners only. We don't plan to apply for insurance license or a mutual fund license.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Cheryl Samuel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations on the excellent results to Fino team. My question is as follows. I believe there is some reverse merger plan from the parent company, PayTech, with Payments Bank. Could we get a status update on that?
So, as per the regulation, after 5 years of completion of the bank, there is no promoter holding restrictions on Fino PayTech. So, the plan to merge with Fino PayTech and Fino Payments Bank is definitely which is there in our offering. Right now, we have not taken any internal approvals or applied to the regulator on the same. Whenever we will do, it will be noted to the stock exchanges.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation today. As you can see, a lot of hard work has started to give us better results, both on the margins as well as the revenues. Our strategy around diversification, adding more businesses on the ownership side, has also started to give good results. The cost controls, the operating leverages have started to benefit us. And as we go forward, you should see better numbers coming from Fino in quarter three onwards, whether it's on the margin or on the cost controls and on the revenue side. So thank you for participating again, and stay invested. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.